How's your reopening going?
My reopening?
Yeah.
That sounds dirty. How's your reopening going?
I mean, I'm gaping and ready.
I'm so ready. I'm like fucking ready. I'm fucking ready. Yeah. I need to be back around adults, and I'm a social butterfly. It's been really hard for me this year. You know that.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? And welcome to another episode of Fermented Media Lab, a public access variety show. It's the Mixtape with Friends podcast. I'm your host, Jenner Pasqua, and speaking of friends, I'm in a park celebrating my buddy Rex's birthday. Lots of folks around I haven't seen in a while, so I want to hear how the reopening is going.
Okay, my name is Man. I'm an apprentice for, I'm a lineman apprentice for CalNav JATC. So we basically construct and maintain power lines overhead, underground. In my field, it's been the same. Yeah. It's there's no change. So it's basically we're just essential workers. Even throughout the COVID, we've been doing our work.
It's really cool to hear how everyone's reopening is different. For essential workers like Man, they've been out here for a minute. Not much has changed. For other folks, you know, things are just starting to open up now, and they're having a really good time, finally able to cut loose.
Hi, I'm Francisco Aguayo, engineer. It's going great. Fuck, partying every weekend, getting drunk on weekly, getting high every day, seeing my friends, fucking loving it, man. Fucking carne asadas, man. Remember that shit? Fuck. Meat's expensive like a motherfucker now, though. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. Meat is pretty expensive now. And it probably explains why every single fast food chain now has a chicken sandwich. Like, why does Burger King have a chicken sandwich? Okay, moving on. For some people, myself included, the reopening is kind of overwhelming. So much so that my buddy Marco didn't even want to talk to me.
Get back to me in a couple of weeks. I need to regenerate my soul like in a cave. Like, no humans, then I can comment on it. But right now, I got nothing good to say.
In this episode of FML, we're talking about the great reopening. Back in May, I went to Disneyland, so I sat down with my friends Lily and Nairi. They're going to talk us through their experience at the happiest place on Earth in the late pandemic era. But before we do that, let's stay in this park for a bit. My buddy Jesse is a server at a fancy restaurant in downtown LA. It's the kind of place where people go for their first meal out after being in captivity.
It's been interesting. I guess the thing, like, which is cool about it is that everyone's going in through it together. So I was the first time genuinely being, like, excited to, like, go through that experience with diners. From all parties, like the staff members, management, guests who are coming in, you know, yeah. Coming in, and it was, it's cool, it's infectious. They had people coming in, like, literally, like, I've been checking every week for, like, literally a year to see when you guys are going to be reopening. But I've tried not to let that wear off. As a server, let's say, you have to constantly reinvent because it gets monotonous. Going through, like, you're going to every single person, and every single person is going through, maybe that's their first time at that place. So we all had a long time. I had a time to sit and really just, like, fester in this like, built in this fermentation process of, like, how, like, kind of getting ready for it, getting ready to come back. And so now I'm actually by far the best I've ever been. In it, like, it's like I almost went through a training mentally process to come back. Now I'm excited. I share in people's excitement to come in, and rather than just treating it like, oh, this is just like a job that you have to kind of trudge along to get through. I make sure to, like, meditate beforehand. I take the subway to work and I meditate on the subway as much as I can. It's got chaotic on the red light, but I try to do that. I try to do that at home too. I do meditation. I've changed my whole way of, like, thinking. And it's constantly, like, working on it. Every day is a process. Every day it's a process, a process, a process, every day. So I start that over, and it's been rewarding. And I find that with people. You find that with people. Like, you connect with people. And remember that, hey, they're coming in here for the first time. And so, like, I treat it like, hey, and I'm actually a part of that to be able to and it's amazing. It's, I used to be so stiff. I used to be so, like, think I was the shit. Like, I was, like, you know, like, this fine dining expert and, like, you know, and judgy and whatever. But now it's like, I take my time no matter what. I just take every experience. Like, I just really slow down now.
Hell yeah, man. I love practicing meditation. I have also slowed down a bunch, and it's helped me just be really grateful. With everything opening up, I think it's cool that we're in this moment where people are excited just to do normal things like go to a restaurant. I'm grateful you're with us right now. And after the break, we'll talk about the reopening of the happiest place on earth. More to come. This episode of Fermented Media Lab is brought to you by the beautiful sound of gas that makes soda water. That's right. This episode is once again brought to you by our friends at FizzFill.com. If you're in Southern California, FizzFill is a family-owned business where you can refill your SodaStream compatible CO2 tanks. At $12 a pop, a FizzFill refill is cheaper than retail. Hey, that rhymes. And they offer no contact exchanges, by appointment only, ensuring you have your tanks when you need them. So, if you want some soda water, go to FizzFill.com and book an appointment today. FizzFill. Soda, water, and boobly boobly boop 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 bubbles. Okay, you're listening to me and my friends on Big Thunder Mountain. We're about to go down the first drop. I get, like, goosebumps just hearing that audio, man. Woo! Back in early May, I got to go to Disneyland right when it reopened. Thanks to my roommate, a true gentleman, the one and only Ryan Suarez. He's the best. He was able to get us some tickets, and wow. It was just such an amazing gift. I mean, at that point, people were just getting double vaxxed, and I was kind of scared to even go. But the opportunity to be one of the first people to go back to the happiest place on earth. Are you kidding me? Of course. I went and it was, guess what? Amazing. Even though our visit to Disneyland happened a while ago, I'm sure restrictions have changed since we experienced the park back in May. But it was really special. And I was compelled to capture this moment where we got to experience something extraordinary after not experiencing much at all for a long time. So I sat down with some friends who went with me to talk about it.
My name is Lily Sankikian, and I am a clown, a tarot reader, and I guess you could use the umbrella term performance artist. So that's what I do.
Hi, I'm Nairi. I am in brand marketing and advertising and currently a strategist for consumer brands here in LA.
Very cool. Well, thanks for joining me on FML, ladies. So how many times have each of you been to Disneyland?
I want to say too many times to count. No longer, because they're not offering it, but I'm an annual pass holder. So I'm that person. I will go for just a couple hours to ride a couple rides and grab a drink at Trader Sam's and then head home.
I think I would probably say upwards of 100 times. That would be the short answer. Here and there for different occasions, different things. But yeah, good times.
Wow, 100 times. Did you go since you were a baby? How were you introduced to Disneyland?
I would probably say my introduction into Disneyland came at a really young age with my father, who is a big movie buff. He loves old films and he was working a lot growing up. So whenever we would plan Disneyland days, usually during summer vacation, it would be like this big family adventure. It would be like 15 Najarian family members deep, and we would have a process in the morning and what we would need to do and grab breakfast on the way there, but grab some Cokes on, you know, in case we got thirsty or what have you. It was a full day's worth of fun and entertainment and family.
That's so awesome. Okay, so it sounds like I'm talking to Disneyland experts. I mean, I probably go every 5 years or so when someone is in town. But of all your visits to Disneyland, are there any particular memories that stand out?
It's funny because I just remembered this morning as I was like reading the questions, but yeah, my first kiss was at Disneyland and it was on the Haunted Mansion ride.
Oh, no way. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I was there for my eighth grade trip and they let us all like run free. You know, there was no adult supervision. They were just in their area and they were like, okay, have fun. You're big kids. You're in eighth grade. So, you know, we went on all the rides, we had fun, and sure enough, I bumped into a cute boy and we got to talking and we had a lot of fun together and we decided to ride the Haunted Mansion. And that's where it happened. Yep, in the graveyard.
Wow.
With the grim grinning ghost.
Nothing says romance like those ghosts in the Haunted Mansion, eh?
The grim kissing ghosts.
The grim kissing ghosts.
All right. So, Nairi, how about you? Any memories that jump out to you?
The weirdest memory I had was when Lily and I went once and an earthquake hit.
Oh, my God. I forgot.
What? That's terrifying.
And we were like, why weren't we on a ride when this happened? We're that crazy. Where we were like, if an earthquake hits now, we could be on a ride and then we would get walked off and we would get to see all the behind the scenes things in the rides. But alas, that didn't happen. So,
yeah, I don't think that's the normal reaction I would have after experiencing an earthquake. Okay, so moving on. Back in May, we went to Disneyland together and it was cool. It was fun. Could you walk me through what it felt like to go to Disneyland after more than a year?
It was very emotional. I'm going to be honest. It was very emotional. I guess it made me feel like the pandemic is almost over too. Like it's starting to feel a little bit like past tense. So in that regard, it made me feel really just happy and like free. Just free. I felt super liberated.
Totally. I had a very similar feeling. How about you, Nairi?
I was really curious to see whether the same feelings and the same experiences land, you know, the way that they did prior to the pandemic. Would wearing a mask be okay? Would it take away from the magic, or would it stir up different kind of emotions, or whether you're waiting in line, what was that going to be like? So there was a lot of curiosity and I was anxious because I was excited to make sure that it was still going to be great. And I don't know why I doubted that, because of course it was freaking awesome. It always will be.
What was one of the first things you noticed that was different this time around?
The tram is gone. And to me, I'm the kind of dork that considers the tram ride like a ride at Disneyland.
Right? Who doesn't? Some people argue what the first ride is. And I mean, if the vehicle is telling you to keep your hands and arms inside, then that qualifies as a ride to me.
Because you have the speaker like explaining things and being witty and funny, and like it's just the building up of the excitement. So I really did miss that, but it was fun and interesting, and it reminded me a lot of grad night when we had to walk that whole area. I haven't done that since I was like 18 years old.
Oh man, I also experienced grad night at Disneyland, and I will just say it was very, very fun. Yeah. Was there anything different that proved to be a challenge this trip?
Well, the first thing that we all needed to order when we got to California Adventure were the frozen margaritas.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And the mobile order situation was a little bit challenging.
Yeah, it was.
At first, but then we kind of got the hang of it. I mean, mobile orders were a thing, even I think before the pandemic, but I think the line situations and just the logistics of the mobile ordering kiosks were a little unexpected and different for me, because I think that there was a little bit of confusion there. So that was something that felt different. You know, usually when you're walking up to, you know, your go-to refreshment or snack spots, you know, you're kind of falling back to the habit of it. And then you realize, oh yeah, you know, I'm wearing a mask. We're in a pandemic. There's a different way of doing this. So, you know, paperless, cashless, all that stuff. So that was a little bit different that, you know, I wasn't expecting right away.
Totally. Yeah. No tram ride, cashless society. Things are a little different at Disneyland. But Nairi, for you, it was even more different. Could you share a little bit about why that was the case for you?
I had COVID back during the holidays, and everything's great, has been great since then, recovered, fully vaxxed, all the good things. But the one thing that I didn't recover was my taste and smell. So it was the first time I went to Disneyland without being able to smell the classic signature Disney park smells.
Please describe a signature Disneyland smell.
So my favorite Disneyland park smells would have to be the water in the dark ride, specifically in Pirates of the Caribbean. Splash Mountain also does a really fantastic job. But my second favorite would probably have to be the smell of the churros wafting in the air. You can't beat that. You know, the sugar and the fried dough. That's just lovely. But also all the amazing scents in Soarin' Over California, now over the world. And I want to give all of you guys a shout out, because that was the first ride we rode when we got there. And all of you were like, now it smells like pine cones. Now it smells like sea breeze and coconut. And it smells like, I don't know, like sand dunes. So that was really great. So I think that kind of gives you a positive to the negative. And I think that only happens when you're at Disneyland with your friends.
Oh yeah, that was a really sweet moment, wasn't it? Okay, so now that you've gone to Disneyland since it reopened, what should people be prepared for?
So I would say two things, two very, very, very important things. So the first would be to download the Disney Parks app so that you can get on your mobile order and you're ready to go, and you don't have to be figuring that out when you're hungry and tired and hot. So get on that and handle that early. And the other thing is, I will say wearing masks, very necessary, does make everything feel about 10 degrees hotter. And especially in the summertime, we know Disneyland gets very hot. So my recommendation is, if you must wear a cloth mask or a reusable mask, bring a few, because they will get sweaty and damp and they won't be enjoyable. But I I would recommend wearing a disposable or bringing a few disposables just so you don't have to be carrying them with you. And once they get wet, you know, you don't have to have like wet masks in a baggie somewhere. So I just, and I think that they're not as hot as the cloth masks. So,
oh my God. Yeah, totally. That is very sound advice. I wish I had disposable masks. I was lucky enough to have an extra cloth mask in my bag, and it saved my life. It just made my experience in the second half of the day all the better. One thing that really sucked for me personally as a Star Wars fan is that I didn't get a chance to ride Rise of the Resistance. I was so excited. I didn't get to ride it before the pandemic, and I was like, yes, this is my moment. And I was so pumped, and we learned it's really hard to get in the queue. Lily, you have some experience with this. Could you please give the listeners some guidance on how to ride Rise of the Resistance?
So just FYI, like this is the fifth time I've been to a Disney park to try to ride this ride. Once was in Florida on opening day of Rise, and we couldn't get in, and we tried the next day and we couldn't get in. And the other times were the opening days in at Disneyland. And again, we still couldn't get a boarding pass. And this was my fifth time trying to ride that ride and not being able to get a boarding pass. So the boarding passes. So as soon as you, and I believe now they have two opportunities to get boarding passes. One is as soon as parks open, as soon as you enter, you open your app and you select your boarding pass. You get in the queue, and then it gives you a time and like a code or something like that. And then you go at that time. And now I think they do it twice. They give you two opportunities, which I think is very, very important because they didn't used to do that before. So they give you a second opportunity to do that at noon, which was cool, but we didn't know about that. So that was our fault. But yeah, so what used to happen, or the reason that it was always so difficult for us to get in, is we would be there as soon as parks open, and you can't get a boarding pass until you've crossed the threshold, the gate into the park. So even though you'd be waiting in line at like 8:30 and you would walk in at 9, all the boarding passes would be gone. And that's because everyone that would stay in the hotel would get 1 hour early access into Disneyland. So they would flood in and get all the boarding passes. So everyone in the hotel got boarding passes, and then we couldn't.
Oh my God, what a shame.
And that's why we'll be staying at the hotel next time.
Correct.
Yes, indeed. One of these days, we will all be together and be writing Rise of the Resistance. I hope it's sooner than later. Wow. Lily, Nairi, thank you so much for sharing your experience with me. I mean, personally, I knew it was special, but just to kind of reflect on it with Disney adults who go regularly, it was just a blast. And it was kind of, like you said earlier, Lily, like very liberating. So thank you for coming on the show and just like, just, you know, rapping with me about the happiest place on earth.
Awesome. Likewise.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Jenner.
Had a great time. Then and now.
Yeah. To many more.
Oh yeah. I mean, things are reopening and it's great. Things are different, but hey, it's okay. We're all kind of in this together. And yeah, thanks for joining us for another episode of Fermented Media Lab.
Oh, my name's Ingrid Moody. I'm a legal biller. I think the reopening, what I've found is more enjoyable is appreciation for being outdoors, like enjoying the parks, enjoying the beaches, like just, you know, things just look different when you've been kind of locked up like for a whole year. So that's what I've been enjoying, just getting out more.
Fermented Media Lab is produced by me, Jenner Pasqua. I just want to say thank you to all my guests and friends who contributed audio to this episode.
It's a little anxious because we don't know what we've been told on the stoop tube, so it kind of separated us for a little bit. So it kind of feels weird to get back together. But then we remember the good times when we see each other, so it feels normal to us. And yeah, man, everybody eats and can't wait to just keep exploring with food and food, family, and fun. And that's the bottom line. Stay blessed.
If you would like to get involved with the show, please drop me a note. I'll leave my email in the description of this episode. I really do want this to be a public access show, so hit me up. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Ask you a question. How's your reopening going? It's for my podcast.
What reopening?
Just the reopening of life.
Oh, it's pretty good. Seeing people, doing things, and gonna watch some shows hopefully soon.
I miss shows, yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
They're good.
Good times.
Thank you.
Well, yeah. You know, I'm-